Every year, when we reach this moment on Sunday, I'm struck again by the contrast of this morning. It's one thing to sit down and write on Sunday sermon at my desk, knowing in theory that we will have just this story of Jesus' suffering and death. But it's another thing entirely to hear that story aloud, and then to stand here and open my mouth to speak. Palm Sunday has such an extraordinary range. It plummets all the way down into the depths of human suffering and loss. From the heights with which we begin the service, parade. A parade on Palm Sunday, or a procession, or maybe a protest. Jesus and the disciples of Palm Sunday has some elements of all three. Each of those things is different from other ones, although share that one thing in common: a group of people walking at a slower than usual pace in a kind of ritual way. And while procession, protests, and parades are all different things, they also all do the same thing. They form us into a people who claims kind of a shared past and some kind of a shared place. And they form us into a people who belong in that place and declare they're going to live in that place in a way that's shaped by that past, brought forth into the present. For one reason or another, human beings love a parade. So this spring, for example, our neighborhood will host an extra exuberant Bunker Hill Day parade, commemorating the 250th anniversary of that battle. Like any patriotic march, Bunker Hill Day remembers the past, which is where its origins are, but it's really about the present. It forms a shared identity for the people of the neighborhood in which it takes place. It maintains a connection for people who grew up here and moved somewhere else. It connects us all to the events of the past in a way that speaks to the present. This is the home, it says, of a people who fight against any. Religious processions work in a similar way. So if we were a parish in the English countryside, for example, Rogation Days, we might traditionally have all gathered and processed around the geographic boundaries of the parish, like a town or a village, blessing the land, in a way that ties the people of the place to that place. In a modern form, in August here, you can attend sessions three days in the North End, in honors of Saints Lucia and Leonard and Anthony, in which their societies process down the streets, connecting the stories of the saints past to the people of the present, and maybe more importantly, laying claim to the neighborhood in which they take place. This is the North End, and we are Italian. And just this morning, you joined in a procession around this very church, a reenactment, in a way, of that day on Jesus entered Jerusalem as he prepared to face his death. Jesus' Palm Sunday ride on the back of a colt has some of the celebratory feel of a parade. It has some of the religious elements of a procession, but really it was more like a protest. I should sit here and say that yes, there is an op-ed in the New York Times today entitled "Palm Sunday wasn't a procession; it was a protest." I'm not plagiarizing it. It's more like a protest. After all, a parade is an official celebration commemorating some great event. A procession gathers a whole community, and it has the religious leaders leading it. But Palm Sunday was a divisive and a political act. You might notice the detail. The Gospel of Luke tells us that it's not the crowds or the people as a whole who cry out and chant along the way, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." It's the disciples who do that. Jesus' own particular quarters. They're making a political claim. "Blessed is the King," they say. But Jesus isn't on the throne. Only Rome can make a client king to rule a parched land. And for a crowd of Galileans to declare that Jesus was a king was a plot or a rebellion to the rule of the governor Pontius Pilate. Everyone is on board. There are counter-protesters, polite as they are. The Pharisees of Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop," because they know how the Romans will react, just like the Romans do react. But Jesus doesn't stop them. Nothing can. He says that if they were silent, the very, very stones would shout out. The disciples' act of protest may seem pointless. Political rallies often do, especially in a place like this, where I think liberals and conservatives alike often feel that there are no leaders to be convinced. We live in a one-party state. And that's in our society, where the right of the people peaceably to assemble is constitutionally guaranteed. How much more pointless an act of protest like this seem in an empire like Rome, where the only guarantee is that the powers that be will come down hard on anyone who dares speak against them. But a protest like this isn't pointless. It wasn't pointless then, and isn't pointless now. Because an act of protest, like a parade or a procession, isn't about what it does out there, about the mind that it might change among the people. It's about what it does in here for the people who participate. It's not only about changing the world, it's about creating a people who have joined together in this act. In the short term, you might say the disciples' procession or protest that day doesn't do much. It's counterproductive, really. The disciples' claim that Jesus is king leads directly to his death. It's the very, very charge Romans put over his cross. This is the king of the Jews. So that everybody can see what happens to someone who claims to be king. A group of people brought together this movement seems quickly to fall apart. Their peaceful protest on the road leads to violence in the garden. The people who gather with Jesus around the table abandon and betray him within hours. Jesus' last moments alone, except for the bandits hanging on either side, faithful women who have followed him to the end. And it seems that all the energy and momentum, all those chants and songs and cloaks laid on the road, have gone nowhere. Jesus dies, the movement ends. And on the Sabbath, they rest. But the story doesn't actually end there. I think it's a taste to jump too quickly to the resurrection. And I won't spoil for you the events of next Sunday. They're really good. Really good. But even when Jesus is dead, or they know that he'll be raised, the movement isn't gone. The day after the Sabbath, the women return to the tomb together. They hear remarkable news and they go to find the apostles who are together. The community that they found and that they built out on the road together hasn't scattered to the four winds. They came together all the way from Galilee, Jerusalem, and into Jerusalem itself. And the group of individuals who sang and chanted and walked all that way have become people. A people who will go on, even after their darkest days, to do incredible things. Those individuals who laid down their cloaks on the road have been united by their act. We processed around this church, are united by our own act. We have become a people, too, and said, this is our place. So may the same spirit that drew them together on the road and sent them out into the world, draw us together today, and send us out as well, to love God with all our hearts and souls and strengths and minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, giving us strength and courage to the world as they did, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.